This show furnished by Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn.
It's time for Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life, with your host, injury compensation attorney, author, and mentor, Alan Gervie. Alan is managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm who have represented injured workers for over 35 years. Joined today by his co-host, radio personality, and television host, Carrie Kasem. Carrie brings a fresh, real perspective to the intersection of law and life, turning Murphy's Law upside down. And now, here are Alan Gervie and Carrie Kasem.
Good afternoon, Los Angeles, and everyone listening all over the world on KABC.com. I love that music. Keep it rolling. I am Alan Gervie, and I am the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn. And today, as usual, I am here to be the managing partner of your life. Right here on KBC.com. Talk Radio 790 KBC. We have a great show today. My co-host, the Carrie Kasem, she is on assignment. We sent her to Chicago to cover the Dodgers game. She's a huge Dodgers fan. And she is there in Chicago. She will be interviewing all the players. Actually, I'm kidding. I'm not sure where Carrie is, but I know she's not here today. I'm here by myself. I'm watching the Blue Jays game. I just got back from Toronto. So if I get a little sidetracked, it's because something happened in the Blue Jays game. I had a great time in Toronto with my family. I went to a Blue Jays game. I actually saw the clinching game against the Rangers. It was a lot of fun. It went 10 innings. And Josh Donaldson scored for you in L.A. I'm sure you don't care because all we talk about is the Dodgers game against Washington. What a game. That was amazing. All right, the Indians just stole a base. I'm not going to look. Let's focus, folks. Let's focus on Gervie's Law. So while I was gone, there was a tweeting war going on because of our last two shows. 2 weeks ago, we had Vince Finaldi on the show, and he represents Wade Robson, who is the guy who is making allegations against Michael Jackson's company, MJJ Productions, about child abuse and sexual molestation, although he testified in 2005 that he was not sexually molested by Michael Jackson. And then last week we had Tom Mesereau on, and he said that that was a joke, that Wade Robson, of course, is not credible, even though he was this star witness in the trial in 2005. So people are calling me a scumbag. They're calling me cheap, a clown, pathetic. Here's some of the tweets. Gervie's Law and Carrie Kasem, this is an active case pending, a decision by the judge on yet a further amendment, and you are making it a circus. Then Destiny, what did she write? Or maybe she liked it. Gervie's Law, turning allegations of pedophilia into a game show. Not what a real victim or his attorney would do. Gervie's Law has devolved into parody. But then again, lawyers have been prostituting themselves since 1993. Wow. Some real trashing of lawyers. In fact, 3 or 4 weeks ago when we had Alan Dershowitz on, he said that he wanted to come on our show and name names of unethical lawyers, saying there are so many big names who are unethical. Horrible stuff. Lawyers are scum. They're clowns. This is a circus. Well, folks, I'm here today to tell you it isn't. I'm telling you that lawyers are good people. Lawyers are upstanding people who give back to the community. And you are going to hear all about it today. Los Angeles Trial Lawyers Charities giving back to the community. Some of the finest lawyers in town giving back, taking care of those in need. And we're going to talk to representatives from LATLC in just a couple minutes. Later on in the show, we are bringing on AT&T spokesperson Lily. For those of you who watch the AT&T commercials, Lily is Milana Weintraub, and she has put together a documentary called Can't Do Nothing, and it involves Syrian refugees. She has taken on the cause of the Syrian refugees, and she will be live in studio to talk about the Syrian refugees and their issues. That should be really interesting. She's going to be joined from New York by Lexi Sharshevsky, who is the executive director of the Syria Fund. So we're going to talk about international good deeds and the political implications on Syrian refugees. But right now, without further ado, I do want to introduce the LATLC folks who are doing such amazing work. This organization started in 2006 by a good friend of mine, Bruce Traney. And they have been giving back to the community for years now. Their motto is justice in the courtroom, service in the community. Too often, lawyers are given a bad name, and these people are making it right, making a positive difference in the quality of life for the people. They are involved with educational, children causes, survivors of abuse, persons with disabilities, homelessness, and a number of other unbelievable causes right here in LA. I am a proud member and honorary board member of LATLC. We have here with us 2016 President Scott Corwin, who is with Los Angeles Motor Vehicle Accident Law Firm Scott J. Corwin. Also, we have the Secretary and Executive Committee member Alyssa Shablosky. She is with the Rubertist Law Firm. And, of course, Jerry Marcus, 2016 Treasurer and Executive Committee member, and he's with Professional Accident Injury Network. We're going to find out all about LATLC and everything that they do. Scott Corwin, welcome to Gervie's Law.
Thank you, Alan. It's a pleasure to be here.
It is great. I love having this show. Every year we have you on. Jerry Marcus, nice to have you. I don't think you've been on Gervie's Law before.
No, I haven't, and thanks for having us here today.
Well, welcome. We're happy to have you. And Alyssa, again, you have not also been on Gervie's Law, but we're happy to have you.
I have not. Thank you so much.
So tell me, Scott, what has been going on? You were on a year ago, and it's been an incredible year for LATLCs. Since 2004, is it true that you've given back nearly $2 million to the community in grants, gifts, and goods?
Yes, that's absolutely true, Alan. Through our various programs of direct grants and giving, as well as a food donation program, as well as a youth sports program where we contribute and support over 50 public school and public youth sports leagues, baseball leagues, softball leagues throughout the Southern California area, and a college scholarship program as well. So we're doing all those things to try and help in the community and take care of those who are the most vulnerable in our society. If you want to, you want a couple of facts and figures, we can give you a couple.
Well, before we do that, I want to talk a little bit about lawyers and how they have a bad name. And you are doing the exact opposite. You're taking time, and you three are very, very successful trial lawyers, and you're taking time out of your schedules to volunteer. You put in hours and hours. What, about 500 hours with LATLC?
Probably that every year.
Wow.
And it's my pleasure to do it. I really enjoy giving back to the community because so much has been given to us, and we want to support the community that helps us.
How did you initially get involved with the organization?
Well, I was involved about 3-4 years ago, invited to be involved by both Bruce Traney, who you mentioned, who is our founding president.
Right.
And Joe Barrett, who I think you've met. And
yes, he's been on the show.
Been on the show a couple times. And they both approached me and said, you know, Scott, we've got this organization. We are trial lawyers for the people. We try to help out and give back to the community. Would you be interested? And I just thought, okay, this is a great idea. And they told me about it. And I said, great. And so I
got involved.
Well,
they got the right guy. I mean, everyone will agree. Scott Corwin is a bundle of energy. He a tireless worker. Now, there's 35 partner charities now. And I know a few years ago, there weren't half that many.
That's true. When LATLC was founded and Bruce got started in 2006, he started with one charity. And by after about 5-6 years, the organization was working with about 10 charities throughout the Los Angeles and Southern California area. And over the last 3 years, we've expanded our reach. We're looking to expand and get involved in a variety of different areas. We've expanded our mission statement, where we've added some areas that we support under the leadership of both Alyssa Shablosky as well as Geraldine Weiss, who's not here, but she's also, they're both co-chairs of the Partner Charities Committee, and they have been working to expand the impact of LATLC throughout the community.
Alyssa, tell us about these partner charities and how they get involved, how you choose them, because they're wonderful organizations.
We don't actually choose them, Ellen. They usually come to us and ask us for support, and we support them through money and volunteer services. Volunteering with our partner charities is something that I really love to do. It's a way that we get to interact with their clients. Often their clients are children with special needs,
right.
Women who are survivors of domestic violence, all sorts of different people, and we get to give back. We go out and we cook meals and do all sorts of things with them. So it's really fantastic.
It's an amazing experience, and all trial lawyers should know what it feels like, because I remember I've been involved in so many trials this year, and one of the highlights was sitting with kids, reading books with them, sitting on my hands and knees, and they loved it. When you have an opportunity not only to give money, but to volunteer your services, it's really an incredible experience. How has that been for you? Because I know you're a great trial lawyer in your own right.
It's just heartwarming. It's one of the ways that, you know, we can all give back to the world, bring a little love into the world.
Absolutely. Jerry, tell us about your involvement.
Well, I got involved about 7 years ago, also by Bruce Traney. He called me, and I was inspired by him because I've been practicing for about 30 years, and I've never heard of a Los Angeles trial lawyer group or charity function that got together to actually raise money for people that needed money and support and actually get out there to the charities, to events, and help them, whether it was feeding them, cooking for them,
right,
painting houses, or reading to children at schools. So that inspired me, and I kind of hung around for a few years until Scott got involved, and I talked to him late one evening, and he really got me excited about getting involved and getting into the trenches, and that was about 3 years ago. And I have to tell you, I've got my family involved, my daughters are involved in this, and everybody that I know, whether they're a trial lawyer, clients, people that we work with are just friends. I pitch the Los Angeles Trial Lawyers Charity, and it's infectious. It's just a good thing.
I think that so many people get so much out of it. We'll talk a little bit more about that after the break. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
I'm going to let you in on a secret. If you visit LALYFT.com, that's LALYFT.com, you can make money driving your own car. I could rattle off the reasons why drivers love Lyft, like how you get paid just for joining and earning weekly 20% bonuses and keep 100% of your tips, but let's be real. You want to hear it from a real Lyft driver, like Paula in Pittsburgh.
Well, to be honest, I started driving for the money, but what Lyft gives me that my other options can't is flexibility. As a busy mom, I need to spend time with my kids, so the opportunity to earn anytime is priceless. And hey, I'm a people person. Lyft passengers fill my days with stories, laughs, music, and I get to help them out too, you know? It's more than a ride.
To join Paula on the road and take home hundreds in earnings bonuses and tips every week, apply at LALYFT.com. That's LALYFT.com today. Plus, for a limited time, new drivers get a $500 bonus after signing up. Terms apply.
I've suffered from psoriasis, mainly on the scalp, for 28 years. I went through 8 dermatologists.
If you suffer from psoriasis or vitiligo, you know the pain and embarrassment. Now there's a simple non-medication solution called Extrac. Extrac treats areas using a unique targeted light therapy.
You have no idea how thick the plaque was on my scalp. Now I'm very close to having clear skin. I'm thrilled with my results.
With clinical studies showing immediate results, with up to 95% clearance, Extrac simply works. Extrac is covered by all major insurances and Medicare, and will help you find a doctor close by.
I just want to thank you for the great results of my psoriasis, thanks to Extrac. My scalp hasn't looked and felt this good for years. I'm forever grateful for Extrac.
Call now to live Extrac clear. Call 800-974-5144. That's 800-974-5144. 800-974-5144 or xtracradio.com. Qualified patients, certain restrictions apply.
You're listening to Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Yes! You are listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC. I'm Alan Gervie. Ah, that first segment was not great for me. Blue Jays went down. I was watching it with the corner of my eye, but I was focusing on LATLC lawyers, trial lawyers, Los Angeles Trial Lawyers Charities, TLC. That really is an important three letters. We have Scott Corwin, who's the president this year. He's with Los Angeles Motor Vehicle Accident Law Firm. Scott Corwin. We have Alyssa Shablosky, who's 2016 Secretary and Executive Committee member, the DeRobertus Law Firm. I'm having trouble with that name. Can he change his name? I know he's a fine lawyer, but can he just call himself Roberts Law Firm? But it's DeRubertis. And we have Jerry Marcus. He's Professional Accident Injury Network, Inc. Is that a law firm name, Jerry?
It is. It's actually our firm trade name, the Professional Accident Injury Network.
Are you allowed to do it? I thought you had to have names. Like, our firm's called Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn.
Well, it is a professional corporation name, and then we do business as the law offices of Gerald Marcus.
There we go.
Yeah.
That's a great one. So you guys know, everyone who's listening, these are three fine trial lawyers, and they are giving back to the community through Los Angeles Trial Lawyers Charities, some good people in this organization, and they have some great events. Every year they have a really large event that they make a lot of money for the charities. It's a casino night. Scott, tell us about Casino Night.
So Casino Night has been in existence for 3 years. We just had our third Casino Night, which, Alan, I know you were at.
Absolutely.
And you were a sponsor of the event as well, so thank you very much. The purpose of Casino Night is to raise money and to raise awareness, and we had some media there, and we have elected officials there, and we do raise a lot of money. I mean, we raised about $750,000 gross at that event.
It's amazing.
And, you know,
and I remember Mike Feuer was there,
yeah,
wasn't he?
Yeah, well, it's a place where we can all have fun, but we're doing it for a great cause. One of the primary things we do at Casino Night is we hand out our scholarships for our college scholarship program. So this year, 11 LA area high school seniors each received a $5,000 grant or scholarship towards their tuition, books, and housing for college. And Mike Feuer, who is the Los Angeles City Attorney, is also a member of the LATLC Honorary Board of Governors, just as you are.
Yeah.
And Mike participated in that. It's something really special to him. So he helped us hand out the awards at the event. And also we had people like United States Congressman Ted Lieu. We've got members of the City Council. We have some members of the State Assembly. They're all there trying to help, help with this message. And, they really love what we do. We love what we do. And
yeah,
it's just a great place to do it. We had over 1,100 people at this event. And it was really fantastic.
Yeah, and next year, unfortunately, I'm going to miss it. It's on May 13th, which I'm going to be in Toronto again. I just came back, but my niece is getting married on May 14th. So there's going to be one available seat for someone since I won't be there. Jerry, tell us about the golf tournament. On Monday, I will be golfing in the golf tournament.
This Monday, it's our second biggest fundraiser of the year. And we'll have probably about 140 golfers out there, and also a bunch of people that support LA Trial Lawyers Charities, some are vendors and sponsors. So we're able to raise probably about $200,000 gross from that tournament. And again, it brings awareness to LATLC. We get people who are new just kind of jumping in. And again, it's infectious because you see a bunch of trial lawyers, local plaintiff personal injury trial lawyers, basically.
Yeah.
And they're giving back. They're raising money to do good for our community. So it's something that makes you feel really good, and we have a good time doing it.
And there's such great camaraderie. Last year, I remember, actually, I golfed with Kenny Lofton last year, former Major League Baseball All-Star. That was a lot of fun. And this year, Alan Wax, I'm golfing with him. He's not a former Major League Baseball. He's actually a workers' comp attorney, along with Med Legal, who's sponsoring, one of the sponsors. A lot of sponsors for these, and it's great that they're giving. Now, tell us about trial lawyers, though, because people don't understand. You're not insurance company lawyers.
No.
Well, you're for the people.
We represent people, and basically our focus, our philosophy, is to take the little guy, the innocent injured victim, and put him on the same level playing field as the insurance industry, as corporate giants that they stand no chance against if they were unrepresented or if they had to pay a fee like some you know, some attorneys charge fees up front, and
right.
some would say there's two systems of justice, those that can afford the expensive fees and some that can't. With personal injury attorneys, and we all work on a contingency fee, we're able to take that average person and give them the best possible legal representation and to put them up against these corporate giants and insurance companies and give them a fair shot at winning.
And there's some spectacular lawyers, people who represent people, not necessarily insurance companies or big corporations, do a fine, fine job in doing that. Now, Alyssa, I want to talk about all this money Jerry and Scott have just said from these great events. Now, how are they divided up, and what kind of partners do you have for the charities? Can you give us some examples?
Sure. So some of our bigger partner charities that your listeners might recognize are St. Anne's, which is a domestic violence shelter downtown. We also support the Downtown Women's Center, which provides really fantastic holistic services to formerly homeless women. It's real wraparound services, all sorts of extra things, like from education and job placement assistance to skills and yoga and fitness and just kind of feeling good about your soul kind of stuff. And then we support organizations on the west side, like Venice Community Housing, Venice Family Clinic, OPCC, Ocean Park Community Center. So a whole range.
There's so many people in need, and LATLC is really providing an excellent service. There's a lot of lawyers, Scott, who listen to our show. Some of them may want to get involved. Can you tell people, you know, how they get involved? Ever since I've gotten involved, it's been a really wonderful thing in my life, and I know a lot of other people want to get involved as well.
Absolutely. So, you know, we have a website, which is www.latlc.org. And all of the information about our organization is there, our committees, if they want to get involved in committees, if attorneys, and we don't ask for money from people who are not attorneys. I mean, we occasionally get somebody who does that, but our goal is to get attorneys to provide the financial support. Volunteerism, anybody can help.
Right.
But they can go to our website, and there's a Donate Now page, and they can donate and join the honorary board by
Scott,
by, doing
by
that.
The way, it's getting to the end of the year, and a lot of lawyers need write-offs.
Absolutely. So that's absolutely a great. We, you know, we are a 501c3 nonprofit, you know, tax exempt or tax deductible.
Right.
If you're doing that, but absolutely, they can go to the website and all the information is there and how to contact Alyssa and Dina to get involved in the volunteer work and how to make donations and do that and come to our tournament and our casino night. I did want to touch on a couple of quick things, if that's
sure.
all right. In terms of what we've given back to the community, not only we've given back about $2 million, as you said, just
right.
in the last 2.5, 3 years since January 1st, 2014, in our work with these 35 charities. But besides that, besides actual financial contribution, one of the things we have is this wonderful food program, and we have directed about 213,000 pounds of food to the LA Mission, the LA Food Bank, the Food Bank of Southern California, and the Delancey Street Foundation, providing for more than 297,000 meals over
wow.
those last 3 years. Another thing that we've done is our work with the Venice Family Clinic. Our financial contributions there have provided more than 1,400 children with health insurance coverage. These are some of the things that we do. And another thing that's wonderful that I think Alyssa might be able to touch on is we do have a new program that we're instituting this year. As you mentioned, we're at the end of the year.
Right.
Is this holiday toy and food drive, and Alyssa could tell us about it and who's involved as well.
It's in the early planning stages, but we are giving away turkeys and toys and collecting donations for families in need in Los Angeles. We're hoping to get some pretty big people involved in the city council. I think Mike Fuhr's thrown his support behind it, so we really want to give back and provide services ourselves, too.
It's incredible how many new programs, as the years pass by, and how many members are now with the organization.
3,000 now.
3,000. When you started, Jared, do you remember how many there were?
I do. About, well, 7 years or so ago, it was probably under 100 in
really?
Reality. And again, I was inspired because it hadn't been done before, and excited to get involved, and I watched it grow until really the last 3 years or so. It's taken off and become infectious, and it's amazing the hundreds and hundreds to now about 3,000 supporters and members of LATLC.
It's really an amazing feat for people who are so busy. I know all three of you have very busy practices. Are you going to be president coming up, Jerry?
I will be in about 3 years, I think 2019 or.
And what about you, Alyssa?
I think I've got another few years yet. I think 2020 is my year.
It's great. You know, folks, people, they're planning ahead. They've committed themselves for the next, what, 5, 10, 15 years. Scott, what about you? Are you just going to go into retirement?
Well, not exactly, but I am going to be taking a little bit of a break. Typically, we have members join our board, and then if we have an election that's an open election, and if a member is elected to serve on the executive committee, it is a 8-year commitment because there's the chair process.
Sure.
Moving through secretary, treasurer, vice president, president-elect, then president, and then 3 years serving as a past president. So I'll still be on the executive committee, but I'll be moving in as a past president.
We'll put you out to pasture.
Exactly. And one other thing, a couple of the other people involved, United States Congressman Ted Lieu is a member of our honorary board and has thrown a lot of support behind us. John Chang, who is the state treasurer and I think is running for governor or will be running
really?
For governor. Yeah, he's a supporter of ours.
I hope he does a better job for lawyers than Jerry Brown has.
Well, we'll see. I mean, you know,
I know you're a big Democrat, but you're personally friends with Hillary Clinton, aren't you?
Yes, I am. And don't want to get too political about that on our show because we are. We'll accept anybody.
No, of course.
Just about anybody. I don't know about the other guy. But
I bleed for victims of injuries, whether at work or otherwise. And that's why when you talk about supporters, I really respect the legislators who get behind LATLC.
Well, not only that, the California State Legislature recognized the work of LATLC in the community. We were honored this year by the California State Senate on the Senate floor. And last year, we were honored by the California State Assembly. Again, they're recognizing the work that we've done in the community, so the legislature is aware of what we do. And just to throw in that last point, you know, like Jerry said and Alyssa mentioned, we are trial lawyers for the people. We are out there fighting in the trenches for victims of injuries, defective products, problems with employment, where,
right.
You know, that kind of thing. And we're there and we do that for free, by the way. That's, you know, we do not charge people hourly. You know, we only.
It's not exactly free.
Well,
we have to get paid. In fact, I just told my firm yesterday, you know, in order to help people, we need to get paid.
But we
can't help people unless we get paid.
But we only get paid if we help them win.
That's right. And these are three winners right here. We have Scott Corwin, Alyssa Shablosky, and Jerry Marcus. They are trial lawyers. They are doing a fantastic job with Los Angeles Trial Lawyers Charities. I want to thank you all for coming in this Saturday afternoon. I really appreciate it. It's LATLC.org. LATLC.org. Do something good. Go out there and help people who are in need. You're listening to Gervie's Law. We'll be right back to talk about the Syria refugee problem after this break.
Flu season is here, but there's something else going around that can be even more contagious, and that's hope. Rite Aid is committed to spreading hope, not the flu. In honor of all our customers who get a flu shot, the Rite Aid Foundation is donating over $1.8 million to more than 350 KidSense charities committed to the health and well-being of children in our communities. So come in today and get your flu shot. No appointments necessary, and it's free with most insurance. Rite Aid. With us, it's personal. Flu vaccines available while supplies last. Age restrictions apply in some states. See pharmacy for details.
And now, insurance-minded speeches from GEICO.
Let's talk about power. To illustrate this, allow me to tell you a story about how I moved a tow truck 25 miles using only my index finger. I was stranded with a flat tire. I opened the GEICO app. Then, with a few taps of my finger, I beckoned emergency roadside assistance and a tow truck to my car. I invite you all to unleash the full potential of your fingertips with the GEICO app. Thank you.
Have you or someone you know been injured on the job? Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job. RGW Lawyers won't give up when the insurance company fails you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injuries, strokes, chemical exposure, cancers, and death. RGW Lawyers are compassionate and aggressive with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner if you're suffering from a work-related injury. Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now. 855-4-RGW-LAW. 855-4-RGW-LAW or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
You're listening to Gervey's Law, the intersection of law and life on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Got nine men,
got a hat and a bat. Oh, yeah. You're listening to Gervey's Law. Jose, great music. Are you just trying to make me feel better because the Blue Jays are losing? Oh, we still got a few more innings. Keep it going. Let's play ball. There we go. Alrighty, folks. That was LATLC, Los Angeles Trial Lawyers Charities, doing some great work, unbelievable work, right here in the city of Los Angeles. And now we're going to broaden our horizons, move into the international world, because we have a very special guest. A lot of you may know her as the quirky AT&T salesperson, Lily. And I hope you don't mind, Milana, that I call you quirky. But I love the commercials. It's amazing. You do such a natural job. You're really she's so down to earth. And she's gained a following for comedy films, including Junk and Life Happens, as well as Netflix Love, HBO Silicon Valley, Yahoo's Other Space. You're so young and you've done so much. But, you know, what's really important is you have an amazing heart because now you are doing something amongst all your other activities that are really helping people in the world. And I know you're very passionate about it. You made the documentary Can't Do Nothing. There, you got him? No, there's a fly around. It's a moth.
It's a moth.
You're saving so many people's lives and you just tried to kill a moth.
I know. And then, you know, the reason it's still alive is that I changed my mind halfway. I had the instinct to crush it.
It was.
And then I was like, I'm better than this. It deserves to live.
It was such a half-assed effort when you tried to kill the moth.
Intentionally so. You make it sound like it's a bad thing.
Milana Weintraub, tell us how you got involved in such an important cause as Syrian refugees. And by the way, you know, a lot of people have mixed views on it, as you know, but
for
I want to know how you personally got involved.
Yeah, I got involved because I'm a refugee myself from the Soviet Union. I was born in Uzbekistan.
Wait a second. You don't look any different than anyone else in this country. You're a refugee?
Yeah.
Isn't it amazing?
I'm the girl next door refugee.
Refugees are just like you and me.
Yeah, we have the same skeleton and the same body.
Absolutely. And the heart.
And the same passions and needs.
And emotions.
Absolutely. So that's, I think, where some of my compassion originated. But it really was fueled by a vacation that I took to Greece just because I've never been there. And while there, I really started to get a sense of what was happening in other parts of the world because I'm sure, as you know, and as a lot of worldly or educated or globally curious people are aware, that our news in America doesn't really talk about the whole world.
Absolutely.
But other parts in the world do. So when I was in Greece, I was really starting to understand what was happening in Syria and in Turkey and in Greece. And I started to see all of these images of refugees at the Macedonian border, or arriving on rafts in Lesbos, or washing up on shore.
But how
Turkey.
Did you see them? You were just on vacation.
Oh. Yeah, they were on TV or the cover of newspapers. And
you were with your dad?
I was on vacation with my dad, yeah. And I really started to understand my own ignorance, because I knew a small fraction of what was happening, because that's how much it was covered in even my social media feed, you know.
Right.
And then it kind of became harder to just vacation once you know that there is this giant humanitarian crisis happening so close to you.
But that, wait a second, that doesn't happen to everyone. I traveled around the world for many years when I was just kind of a bum. I wasn't a lawyer yet. I was having a lot of fun. I saw so many people in need in Africa and in India, and it did break my heart, but I didn't do anything about it.
Yeah.
What made you do something?
I think maybe the more interesting question for me is, why didn't you do something about it?
That's a good question. You know, I don't know why. I felt that I took pictures and I talked about it, but I didn't do anything. So when you say can't do nothing as your documentary, what does that mean to you? Something like me, I did nothing.
Yeah, that feels bad to me. Just in the most like primitive, emotional, guttural way, I feel bad about that. Like even here in Los Angeles, when I drive through downtown and I see the homeless epidemic, I feel bad about it. And doing something makes me feel a little bit better. It helps me sleep at night. It helps me look at myself in the mirror. And
you know, this happened to me many years ago. I had a ticket. I bought a ticket to Manzanillo, and I thought I was going to party in Manzanillo, Mexico. But by mistake, I bought a ticket to Manzanillo, Cuba. And I ended up in Cuba, believe it or not.
So how did you get there?
From Toronto. I'm Canadian.
Wow. Oh, okay.
So I went there and I thought, what am I going to do in the middle of nowhere in Cuba? After that, I ended up going back 7 times, and I took medical supplies. I took pens and papers and pencils for the schools. 7 times I kept going back to Manzanillo, Cuba after it was a mistake. So I kind of
see
get...
that moment is very fascinating to me. So you got, can I ask you a bunch of questions?
Absolutely.
Now?
I'm an open book.
Great. I'm so happy that this is a conversation and not just an interview, because I'm so sick of myself.
No, you shouldn't be sick of yourself.
I'm so boring to me. So when you got to Cuba, what happened? When did you start seeing that there was a need?
I was in a hotel and I was talking to some of the workers in the hotel, and one of them invited me back to their village in Pilon, Cuba. So I rented a moped and I went to the village and I went from door to door to door, and I spoke to them, and I found out, you know, they were so interested in other parts of the world that they had not found out, especially the United States. And they couldn't hear the radio in America, and they wanted to know. They were so intrigued. I remember the faces of the children when I showed them a mirror on my moped. For the first time, they saw themselves in the mirror and saw what they looked like. Mm. And those moments, and I'm sure for you, that's what was happening when you met the Syrian refugees in Lesbos.
I think I had the moment before. I think the moment was given to me just by watching YouTube videos. I saw a video of a girl passing out sandwiches, and I was like, she's the coolest chick I've ever seen. I want to be just like her.
Yeah.
I just wanted to like hang out with her and help her, and I was so inspired by that. But when you were seeing these kids, you saw that there was a need for medical supplies.
Absolutely. I went to the hospitals, and they were empty. And I just felt bad, and I smuggled things in there because it was really important for me for them to have the supplies.
Now, what was different for you between that time and the time where you saw people in India and you didn't help them?
I think that I had a personal connection. I hate to say it, but in India, I felt so removed. The people seemed so depressed, and I couldn't break through to them. I tried to get, especially with the children. I think you know this, because watching your documentary, I saw your interaction with the kids, and it was really special. And that's how I felt. When I was in India, I tried. I didn't quite have the connection. In Cuba, for whatever reason, I did. I made the connections, and these, it just, my heart was broken. In fact, I tried to do what you did. I did a documentary. I had a video, and they tried to confiscate it when I was leaving the country. Fortunately, I found another woman who was traveling, and I gave it to her. So when they searched me, I didn't have the tape on me.
You're such a badass.
I am a badass. And she took it back, and I
brought
14 hours, because they didn't search her. They had no idea. When no one was looking, I gave her the video. How did you do the video? See how I keep turning around to you?
Yeah, you're a very good host.
It's amazing, the documentary. And if folks, how can people see it? Because I was 13 minutes, 40 seconds, I was glued to my computer.
That's great. I'm so happy to hear that. I made the documentary on my iPhone because it was an impromptu thing. I certainly didn't have a camera or a crew. But I've been making YouTube videos since there's been a YouTube. So I was a natural at using my phone to make videos. And I published it on YouTube, and you can watch it on can'tdonothing.org, which is the website that I ended up making. So just to kind of backtrack, I ended up changing my ticket home and going to Lesbos. And Lesbos is the island that's closest to Turkey. So people are walking or somehow getting from Syria, if they can escape, to Turkey. And then from Turkey, they're paying smugglers about $1,500, it was at the time. I'm not sure what it is now. And getting on these little rubber rafts to make it across the Aegean Sea to Greece.
About 6 miles, or how many miles is it?
It was 6 miles in where I was. There are other stretches where it could go up to like 18 miles.
Wow, that long.
Yeah, and there's so many lives lost. I mean, it's a sea, so there are waves, and you know, it's sensitive to the weather and all sorts of other factors. So I greeted people when they got off the rafts, and volunteered a little bit at the refugee camps there, and I shot it on my iPhone. I came home, I edited it together, and I made a website. It's a very simple website, and all it is, it's opportunities for people to find out how they can help. So there's ways for you to share your time, your money, or your voice.
And what's the website?
It's can'tdonothing.org.
It's the same website. You see the documentary, you got all the information, can'tdonothing.org.
Yeah.
And you obviously really felt something personal with this. You said you're a refugee.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me about the history, your history. We only have another minute before the break.
Yeah.
But why are you a refugee?
I'm a refugee from the Soviet Union. So there was a time where the Jews were not so welcome there.
Yeah.
My family faced a lot of religious persecution in Uzbekistan. It was very hard for them to get work or education. So when there was an opportunity to leave, when America was opening its doors and Israel was opening its doors, a lot of Jewish refugees left, and I was part of that crew.
And it's amazing when we think of, we just had the high holidays, and for those of us who were in synagogues and temples, we take it for granted as we sit there and listen to a new year and the Day of Atonement, but there you were being persecuted, and you didn't even have an opportunity to have these freedoms of religion that we have here in this country.
I also think about, what does it mean to atone? Like, you can atone for all of the bad things that you've done, but really, it's kind of useless to say sorry unless you take action. So a way of atoning, or kind of paying rent for my time on earth, a way of saying thank you, a way of showing gratitude, is to take action and help people.
That's really special, because I happen to agree with you. Words are just words. Actions really say who you are and what you are contributing to this world. We have to take a quick break. You're listening to Gervie's Law. I'm with Milana Weintraub. She has produced the documentary Can't Do Nothing. It's at can'tdonothing.org. We will be right back.
Have you or someone you know been injured on the job? Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job. RGW Lawyers won't give up when the insurance company fails you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injuries, strokes, chemical exposure, cancers, and death. RGW Lawyers are compassionate and aggressive with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner if you're suffering from a work-related injury. Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now. 855-4-RGW-LAW. 855-4-RGW-LAW or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
The King's 50th season is underway.
Heading Jet Royale, Convoy Flat and Frenchie Lemieux for the King's.
And the only way to celebrate a golden anniversary is by raising a silver cup.
Score! Kings win the game!
Tuesday afternoon, the Kings face off against the Minnesota Wild for Game 1 of their two-game road trip. Coverage gets underway at 4:30 with Inside Kings Hockey.
Kings Hockey.
Kings. Wild. Tuesday at 4:30 on your home for the 50th season of LA Kings Hockey.
Go, Kings, go!
790 KABC.
And finally, representing Uzbekistan, a nation probably known for its hats and, let's just say, autumn goat festivals, probably, Milana Weintraub!
Wow. What a great introduction. Do you remember that?
That's what we're famous for. Do I remember that? Yeah, it was about 3 months ago.
I thought you've been so busy with Can't Do Nothing, and
yeah,
you're doing
I've
all this other
too
stuff.
Too many memories packing my little brain. I can't possibly hold them all in there.
Have you been doing some other AT&T commercials?
I have, yeah.
So which one's running now?
Oh, I don't know. There's a slow motion one. I know that. Honestly, I don't watch a lot of TV, but people tweet it at me. People will tweet the commercials that are out there. So thanks. Keep doing that so I know what my own career is doing.
You seem to know all about it. We're talking to Milana Weintraub, and she has done this amazing documentary, can'tdonothing.org. You can find it there. It's for Syrian refugees, and it's a very personal experience for Milana. We want to welcome to the show right now the executive director of the Syria Fund, Lexi Sharshevsky. Lexi, welcome to Gervey's Law.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Now, you know Milana, right?
I do. I love Milana.
She is clapping right now for you. She loves you. Tell us, Lexi, how you got involved by founding the Syria Fund.
Sure. Well, I have sort of a strange story, which is that I lived in Syria before the war. I was an Arabic student in college, and when I graduated, the obvious choice for me was to move to Damascus and continue studying Arabic. So I was fortunate to live in the country right before the Arab Spring happened. I actually left a month before the crisis.
Now, did you, Lexi, know that this was brewing while you were in Syria? Or after you left, did you like look back and say, wow, this country didn't seem like it was going to be in turmoil like it is now?
You know, when I was living there, I think people said that it was the fourth safest country in the world. But it was clear that there were a lot of political issues. That was quite obvious to me. But I did not think that I could not have possibly imagined what has happened and what it's become. No.
So how did you get involved with the Syrian Fund? Now, of course, it's your husband, right, that you met while you were in school and you both moved to Syria?
My partner, yes.
Your partner.
Whatever you want to call them.
Well, whatever. So how did you guys, I mean, it's one thing to live there, and it's another, you know, we were talking to Milana, and she said, you know, it just touched something so personal. Being a refugee herself, she was just so moved by the Syrian situation. How was it for you, and how did you take action versus just talking about it?
Yeah, you know, it's been an extremely painful process to watch it. I always say that the Syrian people helped me make a home in their country, and I could not have felt more welcomed while I was living there. And so to see them in their hour of need and to see the situation deteriorate so quickly, it was impossible for me to not do anything. So I just started to fundraise where I could, and it blossomed from there.
Now, a lot of your friends and family initially supported you in the endeavor, and then it became more of an internet sensation, and it's been so successful. Are you surprised at how many people have supported you and how you've been able to get the financial backing to continue with the Syria Fund?
It's incredible. I mean, when I first started fundraising, and this was in the beginning of 2013, I sent out an email to friends and family, just to as many people as I knew in my address book, and we literally raised almost $10,000 in like 8 or 9 days.
Wow.
And I think my goal was 2,500. And certainly when we launched as a formal nonprofit, I did not think that we would have the success that we've had and the support that we've had. But it's such a human issue, you know, like these are people that are just like us. And I think that there are so many people in the United States and around the world who sympathize with the experience of what's been going on and want to help. And so I'm just happy to have created an outlet where people can help.
But let's talk about the other side. Milana, you know from your experience that there are some people who may be sympathetic to the cause, but don't think that the refugees should come to the United States. How do you respond?
It's a humanitarian issue. It's like it is millions of people who are now left homeless, among other things that they have lost, including family members, friends, limbs, and now they're looking for a home. And if we are the land that we say that we are, then we should be sympathetic and open to them.
So you don't think there should be limitations on how many refugees come into this country?
I really think that my opinion on it doesn't matter.
So when you focus on helping people, for instance, does it impact your job as AT&T spokesperson, or do you care?
Of course I care, and no, it doesn't impact it.
So they've been very supportive of your endeavors?
They're my friends, and they're good people.
Well, I think good people recognize good people. Lexi, have you had any problems from a political perspective? Because some people say, you know, well, there's refugees all over the world, whether it's in Southeast Asia or Sub-Saharan Africa or North Africa, Mediterranean. You are focusing on the Syrian refugee problem, which is probably the worst in the world. Do you have any people who are critical of your work?
Well, I guess I have two answers. The first is that we primarily work in Jordan, and I think that if there's one thing that all people can agree on, it's that we should help refugees in the region. It's easier for them to go home afterwards. They know the culture, they know the language, they know the religion. It should not be a controversial issue helping them in the region. The other thing I'll say is that, yeah, you know, people have said to me, you know, there's so much poverty here in America. Why don't you help people here? And of course, I think that there's need everywhere. I just hope that everybody finds something that moves them, and that, you know, to Milana's point, that they just do something about whatever it is that moves them. And for me, that's the Syrian crisis because of my personal experience towards it.
And I think that Lexi's doing, and the Syria Fund is doing something really incredible in Jordan, where there is a deficit of other humanitarian aid. Where I think what a lot of people don't know is that most of the refugees in Jordan don't live in the camps. And so that means that they don't have basic human needs that would be provided by other NGOs. That includes education and food and healthcare and welfare. So the Syria Fund is doing a really amazing job. One of the things that we were doing that me and Can't Do Nothing were doing when we went to Jordan just a few months ago with the Syria Fund is working at a school that your donations, that the people's donations helped build,
right,
and teachers that they helped hire, and we created an arts and music program there.
And that's amazing work. We only have another minute. You know, in Canada, for instance, they've had a lot of private funding. I think they could give like $12,500 or something for the Syrian refugees. Is that something, Lexi, that you think should be promoted here in the United States?
Like a sponsorship program?
Yes.
I think it's a really interesting. I think it would be a great thing to do. Honestly, I don't know a lot about the resettlement process here, but I think that one of the biggest barriers is that oftentimes people have to live in places that are way less expensive.
Yeah.
But with that comes a lack of jobs.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
So what ends up, yeah, so
I only have
not being able to be employed.
I only have a minute. I'm sorry. I wish we had more time. In about 10 seconds, can you tell us, Lexi, what you see the Syria Fund in the future? How can people help?
People can share their voice, and they can share their money, and they can show their support that these are human beings, and we're all in this together. And, you know, if we all are positive and
it's the
give our love.
SyriaFund.com.
.org.
And Milana, what about for CantDoNothing.org? How can they help?
You can visit CantDoNothing.org and find ways to share your time, your money, or your voice there. And the Syria Fund is one of the organizations that's listed there to support.
That's amazing. You know how to end on cue. You hit the post. You're a professional. Lexi, I want to thank you for being on Gurvy's Law. All the best with the Syria Fund.
Thank you.
Thanks, Lexi. Love you, girl.
And Milana, I've really enjoyed meeting you. You are incredible. Best of luck, and thanks for all your hard work.
Thank you.
That's it for today. I want to thank you. We're playing the Blue Jay song. It's not over yet. It's not over till it's over. Thanks for listening to Gurvy's Law. We'll see you next week.
This show furnished by Rowan, Gurvy, and Wynn.